It was still over. It wasn't. The music's out. The music's out.
That's okay. Psychic. It's okay. Everything is in control.
Should I press this button now?
No.
Not yet. It's over the hour.
Yeah, it's over the hour. You can play the signal jingle, and so this demarcates the official start of signal, which will really start in half an hour.
3, 2, 1.
Please dial *611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hackers Places. This here little radio program about Hackers Places.
Well, welcome back. This is Signal, whatever. Binary
signal,
voice.
Signal, binary voice, something extension of the inactivism hour.
Yes. We are filling in for the signal bit, and to make the confusing even better, because we have to promote this a little bit. The idea started at Hacking at Random, Psychic, is that correct?
Which idea?
The idea of having a Hackerspace radio station.
Yeah.
The idea started
at Hot from Har 2009, when we wanted to have a... the goal was for a 24/7 hacker radio. The actual status is 2 hours, few hours of a week.
We're struggling to fill 2 hours a week.
I think there is need for a hacker radio, because if you see, Avd Hoek gets so much listeners, and so many people from all over the world tune in to Avd Hoek.
The highest stream for the entire station is the Avd Hoek show.
Yeah, so it surprises me that there is no more. That people don't, that not more people want to make create contact and listen to contact, and not only music but actual talks and talking about hacks itself, and it surprises me. I mean, we have the possibility to make 24/7 hacker radio. Why is it not happening?
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of time, is my own experience, but you're right. I think radio is one of those traditional media which will survive for maybe centuries, because you can listen to radio and do other stuff, like soldering stuff, for strictly therapeutic reasons, obviously. And I still like the idea. I still try to make an monthly magazine, and others do their own stuff. So, but if people think, well, I could do a radio show.
Well, I think most people don't know there's space left on the Signal radio station. And
well, they should have noticed from the random Creative Commons music player, the random DJ which fills all the other time.
That's only a small minority of all the hackers we have, I think.
So we should
promote more.
Get a promotion team for Signal. I think what you're thinking.
It takes time to become established, though. I think being consistent, regardless, good and bad, whether there's a lot of enthusiasm or not, do it.
Yeah, but consistency is overrated.
You have to bring people in, though. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I think to remain a bit in the chill stuff. So, I was about to throw in something different. It's called Metropolis by Night, which I think fits rather in well with the rural nature of Finnefort and surroundings. The artist or the band is called Chill Carrier, and it's from their album Urban Dreams. Thank you. Left. Okay, that is Metropolis Benight. In the meantime, the real signal guys have arrived, but are still preparing. And what would you guys prefer? I've a playlist left in it's still fairly eclectic, if it's too eclectic, please object. Should the next song be some reggae, dubstep, like stuff?
Yeah,
or
yeah, I think.
Or
yeah.
Jazz, or...
No, do the reggae stuff.
So I'll do some dubstep followed by some jazz, or do we then start with the signal bit, or how much... What will we do?
I'll just start in the dubstep.
Okay, let's start in the dubstep.
Take it from there. And,
yeah. And it's a, from a Polish dubstep act.
Polish?
Yes,
Polish. I have some good Polish.
The album name is Muzikanci, if that's proper Polish pronunciation, which I have no
probably
idea.
Probably not.
Probably not, yes. It's probably completely wrong. I don't know what the Polish pronunciation of THCX is.
THCX.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Chicks. Chicks. There will be a combination of and the song is called Droga, and again I don't know how you pronounce a number in Polish. 2003. Since the song name Droga applies drugs, etc., and we were discussing uppers and downers, and Mata was characterized as a upper, a negative feedback who sits at a table then came up with a brilliant marketing idea. Well, maybe not brilliant, But let's have some discussion on the potential market potential for Viagra, Mate with Viagra flavor and as an ingredient.
I actually don't need you. If you just add some vodka, it already
is.
Works really
okay.
Good. But I don't think you have to add.
Well, I can't drink Mate, so I can't verify that.
You can't?
Well,
who forbids you to?
My body, and my body is my temple, and I respect it. And I refuse to eat McDonald's food for starters. That's
But that I can imagine. I mean, but not drinking mate.
Even if I'm a fat middle-aged bloke, my body is my temple. Yes.
But it would be interesting.
Just a big temple, yeah.
You know this marketing slogan Club Mate had back in the days. You get used to it. Apply this on Viagra. That could be funny.
What about?
That sounds scary. And Mate is still a kind of a hacker hipster drink in the Netherlands. I've never seen a Mate advert.
In Germany, it's quite popular and a general thing because they also call it like Club Mate. It has a totally different connotation.
That kind of explains why this vile battery acid lacing taste in crap is so popular.
Yes, and it probably would destroy a lot of business for 2600 if we make this public.
I'm not so sure about that, but my suggestion, well, not my suggestion, it was negative feedback, which is, I think, a rather positive development in from that perspective for Viagra flavored or Viagra as a mate ingredient has met some resistance here, stiff resistance even. And
no, I'm just I have people would insist on having mate with you know. Yeah. I wouldn't object, but I don't need it personally.
I would prefer MDMA in my mate, actually. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hemp. Vodka with MDMA. We got.
That's a perfectly reasonable combination.
Hemp flavored mate. Yes. Yeah. There's. That might work. Yeah, the flora already goes into that direction. So yeah, you see evolution as well.
To do
more
research.
Yeah. What about the nutritional value? Because we also need some sugar or other things that you will keep you alive, and maybe also a little bit of vitamins to actually make sure you're the long-term part of...
And a low fat.
Maybe you should also consume it by intravenous injection then. Just have this...
I don't know.
Infused.
At least there's holes in your arm. And nah. Nah, I wouldn't. No.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't.
Or your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if... Okay, I'll throw in some music. This is not
If you whisper, they can still hear it, Walter.
Yeah, true. Turn on some music, Walter. This is going nowhere.
No. Yes.
What's the next song?
Well, it will be Momento by Hugo Strada e Roberto Daglio. It's also a friendly welcome to the Italian embassy next doors. And it's from a bunch of jazz friends, and they made an album. Well, I think Gemendo compiled it. It's called Summer Jazz 2011, and... it's mostly good stuff. Listen. Thank you. apparently.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, well, the sound technician is making phone calls. The music ran to the next track, which is a crappy track I may replay later on. But Negative Feedback again said that he wanted to hear more provocative music. And in what sense provocative?
Well, it's just a little bit, because what I just heard is basically, well, it's a kind of lounge thing, well, you just go to sleep, everything is fine kind of music. And
it's lift music.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Elevator stuff.
Elevator
stuff. It's like
stuff.
White bread.
Yes. I do remember Brian Eno made several albums, music for lifts, music for airports and stuff like that.
The Hacker Calendar. We got a Hacker Calendar.
A Hacker Calendar.
And what's in it?
I'm still waiting for my copy of the British Roundabout Appreciation Society calendar.
I would imagine there wouldn't be no naked chicks in there.
Naked mainframe. Nice.
That is one sexy machine right there.
That's one sexy phone. Oh my God.
Look at those books. Look at those books.
Binder porn.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh, it's...
The infrastructure on that one. Oh my goodness.
Look at that spread.
Oh, wow.
If only that weren't real.
James, he needs a moment for himself.
Yes. Can someone bring a box of tissue stud to the radio studio? And
one box? Just one box?
Yes, more than one. And
GMC,
some hand loop
on.
Would accompany it nicely.
It
yes, this is. And I'll throw in some provocation to good taste then. It's some Creative Commons trends. We cut this assault on good taste short. At least in my opinion, it's an assault on good taste. But Claudia, how do you feel about trends in generally?
Get closer, we can't hear you.
Come closer.
Come closer.
Trends.
Friends.
That's our friends.
This is really going nowhere. Okay, we'll just close. We'll hand over to the real signal because Thomas and Isaac and the Stitch. Well, the Stitch left again, but that's not my problem.
Ah.
This is such a wonderful thing, the someone else's problem field generator. We hacked it together at RestBase. And it gets duplicated automatically when someone drops something on the floor. or otherwise leave some crap around. It's always someone else's problem. And on that bombshell, we'll leave. We finish, at least I'll hand over to Thomas, who's much better at choosing music than I am and moderating all that else. This is Bertie Cork's The Signal from the album The Signal.
Please dial star 611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hacker Spaces. This here little radio program about Hacker Spaces.
There we are again.
Indeed.
Woo.
I think we need to turn down the monitors.
Yeah.
This is Signal. I'm GMC.
I'm Social Hack. And it was our lovely Signal jingle. And yes, here we are in our regular Thursday 10 to 12 slots, which we keep up also here on the campsite. And we will try to do some regular Signal radio. Not that there would be much regularity to it, but we try. And we still have a full table. Some people of the Activism Hour are still here, and we ask them to stay till our new guests arrive. I mean, we don't have so many guests because, we have too many shows, honestly, and we would need more people to contribute content. But I think we do well with what we have. And we have here on the table Isaac. Kenny has a microphone. Hello. He's on 11.
Hello.
Yes, now
you're
here.
Hello, my friends.
Yeah. You have been around for a while now, around our tent, and also you have been in another show.
Yeah.
And I would like just to tell us something about your experience here on the camp. I mean, you have been here for how many days?
I arrived 2 days ago, so this third day. And it's quite an experience, really. I mean, the sheer sensory aspect of it is something. It's almost difficult to describe in words. The lights and some scents, certainly sounds. It's a bit overwhelming. Unless you've, you know, been to some festivals before, I think it's similar in some ways, but the setting is really what I think sets this festival, this camp apart. You know, we're surrounded by Soviet aircraft and rotorcraft, and the meetings are in bunkers, and it's a thing apart from any festival I've been to before. And I've been to some large festivals, but this has a feel and an ambiance that's quite special.
Totally has. I mean, have you also talked with interesting people, met someone you have known from the internet but never really met in real life?
Yeah, well, that's actually how I ended up here at camp was I met GMC in cyberspace and ended up here because I saw the description of the talk he's giving tomorrow. And
You are the American who came here just for him, okay.
That's right, that's right.
You've been a great improvement to his ego.
Well, it's funny though, I showed up here and I realized that there were a bunch of other people that I'd met in cyberspace but hadn't met in real life also. So it's been really nice. I mean, notably, John Gilmore. I don't know if you know who John Gilmore is, but he's here at the camp. He's a longtime GNU contributor. He was one of the first employees of Sun Microsystems. He's sort of a guru in the hacker community. So it's been nice. I've been hanging out with him at MetaLab and Jeremy Zimmerman. I've been getting to know, and I had seen his work with La Côte du Tour, and it's been really nice to meet some people that I've either met in cyberspace or just heard of in cyberspace. Jacob Applebaum, who I've admired for a long time, I got to meet him this evening.
Yeah, and then when you were on the show, actually Jacob Applebaum
came into
the radio tent, just grabbed the microphone and gave his statement about the FBI, and he was also gone really fast. I mean, it was like a ninja.
Yeah, yeah. He dresses like a ninja too. He's got a lot of ninja gear, and I think perhaps thinks of himself as a ninja. Is kind of the impression I get.
Astera should try to get him to the Ninja Con in Berlin.
But you
mentioned something very interesting, because actually we do have a speaker on the table, and we should use this opportunity, because I think GMC, you are about to give a talk tomorrow, and maybe it's good for our listeners and also for you to have a kind of preface discussion about the talk you are about to give tomorrow.
Thanks for asking that to me without too much preparation. But basically it's an idea I've been running around with a while, and it ties really well into other things that are going on here, other talks. For example, there was a talk of Rob Groengrijp, and I think Frank Rieger, who we had at the table earlier. And they were talking about, at some point we have to think about the ease with which we now produce and throw away electronics, and the way how that is also a big part of modern telecommunication. Mm-hmm. And that at some point resources will run out. Proposition, and so we have to think, what do we do with telecommunications when we can't do that anymore? Stuff breaks, and if it breaks, you want to replace it, but if you don't have the resources anymore, not only that, also looking at the energy footprint of our global internet. So that's one of the subjects that it ties in with. We're also seeing that the economy is being hacked, basically. I won't go into too much detail about that, because that's not an area that I'm very well versed in. Like the Bitcoins, I know it exists. I see some flaws with it. I also see some potential in it, but I'm not into that deep enough to. But anyway, back to the subject of my talk. I've been seeing problems on the internet with censorship, with corporations looking at your data usage and solely based on that decide to either give you access or not to the internet, which is increasingly becoming something you need to fully participate in the global society, basically. And what I think is that we need to take back that freedom we had first on the internet. Of course, the internet was always built by the government, later extended by commerce. But it's not our network, so they decide what our terms are of getting on there and getting information. They decide what information we may get. And my dream basically is to look at how we can get our own network that's ours and not theirs, and where we can set the terms instead of, commercial interest money.
So, just...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to have the discussion now, but I don't think it's even so much a matter of an entirely autonomous network or a separate network, but... The internet is a network of networks. There's no need to replace the internet. It's simply a matter of creating networks within the internet that we own and operate. So for those that don't know, I'm sure that to many this is review, but the internet is made up of what are called autonomous systems, which are, say, AT&T in the United States is an autonomous system. So this is somebody that broadcasts blocks of addresses to the global internet. So if we can start doing that for ourselves, basically become our own ISPs, then we may not have perfect control, but we at least have a much greater degree of control over what information does and does not flow over those pipes. So GMC, you said a network that's ours, and by ours I assume you mean humanity's.
Yes, yeah,
because that's certainly what I'm talking about. So
absolutely,
and I agree with the need for that, but I think it may be a mistake to think of it as a singular entity, but rather many networks that are our networks that are interconnected via the the structure of the internet still.
Absolutely, yeah. Although, why I say the internet, I mean, that's what people see. If you ask something, what's internet, then they will probably describe a few applications and say, well, it's Gmail and MSN. Yeah. Or I don't know. You know, that's the internet. And that, if you define it like that, it is defined in terms of what the companies and the government wants you to see and do. In that sense, I'm saying the internet. Of course, if you view the internet as a technology, I completely agree with you, because indeed it is a network of networks. But I think there is a lot to be gained by getting more of those interconnected networks indeed through ourselves. And yeah, also parts of the more critical infrastructure. The cables that the fiber cables that go between continents, for example.
Yeah.
We're not going to replace it. I know that. At first, and you also give these five steps at the Free Network Foundation, which I really like. So you start basically by first freeing the internet at the people's homes, and as that progresses, you go to a further stage where you get meshing between these networks of individual nodes, and then it's stepping up, and at the end it's also about replacing the bandwidth, right? The backbones. Get co-ops to invest in infrastructure, I think, or yeah, I mean,
I think yeah, it's, yeah. It's very. Can I have a microphone? Hear myself? Good. Yes, okay. I think perfectly suitable for this right now is the fact that Google already does that, because Google is already investing into their own infrastructure, into their own backbones, and most of the traffic they have, for example, with YouTube, they peer with other network providers, and so they do not even pay for the huge amounts of traffic.
That's right.
And... sadly, a new issue about net neutrality arisen out of this, because you have the problem that now certain big providers want Google to pay for, basically their customers, for giving them either a priority on their lines or to allow access at all to Google services, because they're still producing a huge amount of their traffic. Which is totally going into the wrong direction, but it points out that this conflict about net neutrality, I'll just sum it up under net neutrality, because I think that's very strong and important word we have to spread more.
Yep.
And it is a very complex issue. It ties into the education of the society, that this should be a value which is strongly tied to freedom of speech in democracies. And it also ties into technical questions, very complex technical questions, and political ones when it comes to censorship.
It's interesting. I think the nomenclature is important, you know? I think a lot of people at this point in society have heard about net neutrality as a concept. But to me, that's perhaps a misnomer, because it's not just about having the network be neutral. It's also about what we can do with it and who's allowed access to it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I prefer the term network freedom, in the same way that, you know, there are these sort of minute differences between open source and free software or what have you. At the FNF, we talk about five freedoms of the network. So there's access, transmission, storage, authentication, and consignment. So just the first two are really probably the most important ones, although all five I think are important. But access is the one that really gets left out by net neutrality. And access to me means everybody should be able to access the network. The network access is an integral part of participating in our society, as GMC said. And when it costs money, when it's so essentially people say, oh, but moving bits costs money. How could you have free access? Well, how does Verizon have free access? How do they peer?
Well, they peer with other networks. So what we need to do is, there was something came out in, I think, 2005 called the PICO peering agreement, right? Which was a framework for having individuals be network peers. And in that way, you start to say, well, I'll move your bits around if you move my bits around. And then the only thing you need if you want to join the network is a node. You just need a radio. And if you are willing to buy the radio and power the radio, you should have network access. You shouldn't have to pay for access to the network. You should have to pay for the equipment. You should have to pay for the power. But in terms of just a tariff for going on, no, that's ridiculous. It should be regarded as a right, as a human right.
It's interesting, and this ties into it's not a talk on this conference. It's an article I recently read. Sure, it does cost money if you put up a node and shifting the bits. You can sort of offset that by having free access to other people's bit shifters, so to call. There's also a proposal going around at the moment to integrate something. Well, it's bitcoins again, so I'm not saying we should do it or anything, but it's an interesting thing to think of, that you can indeed also within the pairing also have a sort of compensation for that. If you get a really big thing that uses a lot of electricity, well, you should somehow also reap the benefits. But although that tends to become then a danger of course. But
are you talking about bit? I saw a paper called Bits for Bitcoins. Is that what you're talking about?
That could be. I'm not sure. I briefly read it before I went to camp. So
okay.
Yeah. But it's. Well, I think it's a whole interesting thing, but that's my talk. I mean, I have a lot of to. I was trailing off there because I was thinking about my actually talk and.
I know you are not finished with the preparation, and we keep you very busy here at the radio.
Yes.
So it is wondering to me, in fact, how you can stand that much action, and I wouldn't say pressure, but you definitely do a lot of work here, and I can see that.
Yeah, I just can't not do it. That's the problem.
You know that feeling.
I have no idea you were going to say something, so...
Yeah. I put on my headphones, so...
Okay, so the
another thing you have to do, notice.
Yes. That's kind of an obsessive compulsive disorder, and also a bit of a god complex, isn't it?
Oh, so we're going to discuss my psychological.
Yes, with the Jesus dreadlocks.
I don't know.
That's this whole camp. This whole camp is full of people that can't help but be here. The people standing outside the tent right now, they can't help it. If they could be somewhere else, they would be somewhere else. This is a place where people come because they feel compelled to be here, because they're drawn here like moths. You see all these bug lights in all the tents. Well, we're just like that. This whole place is a big bug light for us. So, you know.
Electrocution.
Please say this again. We couldn't hear you.
Sorry, I don't want to die by electrocution. Although I think it's a more human way to
there go is a risk.
Being burned alive. Or
you picked the wrong profession, man.
No,
I was just kidding.
We in the civilized world got rid of capital punishment. Well, I'm afraid we will reinstate it anytime soon.
Speak for yourself. We still fry people.
Land of the free.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for being obnoxious here. It must be the famous grouse which we are drinking from plastic.
His brain is dissolving now. Yeah,
I don't want to go into this issue, so I'm grabbing the safe stroke of going back to mesh networks. Because I found the idea quite interesting. You just explained that when you buy a node, and you also buy access to the network. And would it be possible to actually really have a system like that? That even end nodes can be as relays important enough for the network as a whole that they could independently run the whole thing?
Well, so the internet is such a complex system that any initiative that hopes to affect the entire system has to rely on the principle of emergence. So we run into this problem all the time talking about, well, what a mesh network could be. And then people think, oh, but how does that relate to how the network runs today? And there's such a distance between point A and point B, right? So in today's environment, no. But through a process of emergence and through a process of iterating how the network is built, sure, we could get to that place. So the way that would happen, right, is that people would say, start using the Freedom Box. I don't know if you've heard about the Freedom Box project.
Yeah.
We could talk about that. But a Freedom Box is basically a personal server, to put it shortly. So let's say that a bunch of people in an apartment building, each apartment got a Freedom Box. Well, eventually, right, if you had radios on those boxes, the boxes could talk to one another, and a single pipe into the building, a single point of access, could be distributed via that network. Now, let's extrapolate a step further and say that, what if that building were talking to the other buildings in the city, and a single really big fiber line, say, were being distributed via one mesh network into the buildings, which was distributed via another mesh network inside the building. So then, once you're at that type of scale, right, where you have a mesh network within a mesh network that's then distributed to the client, well, that size network can engage in exactly the type of peering agreements that you were talking about before, because it has enough users. And if you actually build out this network and you invest in a network, well, then you've got a valuable resource. You're able to move bits. And if you can move bits, then you can get access to the global internet for free. So if people work together, if people learn how to cooperate, if people recognize, oh, I'm part of humanity, I should be participating in this, then yeah, we can get there. We can get to the point where all we pay is the actual cost. Because right now we pay 50, 60, 70% of our network access cost is profit. It's profit for the ISP, at least in the States. I don't know about on the continent, but
more or less the same.
Yeah. So basically all the point is very simple. It's, let's do it for ourselves. For ourself, really, we're a singular entity. Humanity is a singular noun, you know? Let's do it for ourself, and then all we ever have to pay is the cost. We don't have to pay profit anymore. We don't have to be beholden to corporations and governments, you know? So, yeah, I think we can do it. I think it's going to take a lot of work. I think it's going to be a couple decades before we really get there, but yeah, I think we can do it.
Well, as a penny-pinching Dutchman, I can see the argument of trying to do it cheaper. I simply don't buy the argument, well, since the corporations are making a profit, we therefore should do it otherwise. I mean, profit can be seen as solely usury, like you're doing, seem to be doing right now. It's also merely a compensation for investment risk. I couldn't care less about how profitable they are. I'm interested in how much genuine competition there is around. And anyway, as I'm a lazy consumer, I can't be asked to become a node in a mesh network for the consumer reasons. It's right now, to me, the importance is to have a decentralized network, and that now it will become harder for a specific interest, that is corporate or government or idiots who want to impose a certain ideology. I mean, either because they feel about religion, and I do not care which religion, or some specific political ideology to affect the network I like to see it at all. But let's do it for mankind. The corporations are part of mankind too.
Yeah, sure.
Think about the corporations.
But, but.
It's like there are many more. There are like TV providers. There are like 6 or 7 TV providers, and you can choose which TV providers and which channels you want to have. And
that makes things like if you want to just have only Christian websites and choose for that, it's your choice. It would be scary that if every provider restricts you on content, then the problem would
exist. Well, listen, I'm an American. I believe strongly in free enterprise and entrepreneurship in the principles that you're talking about, in competition as a way of improving what we do. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is we can do it better than it's being done. So if we really believe in competition, this is something that we should do.
I do not disagree that we shouldn't do this. On the contrary, and even if I'm being the new trolley's neoliberal at times, I've been toying with the idea to write a dissertation about corporations in contrast to the cancerous capitalism as we know it right now. That's not my point. The point is, I kind of instinctively find framing the discussion is as something anti-corporate as revolting, as intellectually revolting. Mm. The corporations tend not to be malicious.
I think you're right.
They're mostly stupid, ignorant, and it's mostly human fallibility in organizing itself properly that corporations behave or misbehave as we see fit. And especially at CCC events, and maybe it's a German thing, I tend to bump in a lot more people using this rhetoric about the evil multinational corporations. Well, yes, they do evil things, they do lousy things, and I generally don't like them as much. But not because they're multinational corporations, but because they do assholish things. It is not a given that corporates are evil. It's not a given that governments are cool. It's not a given that groups of people... I mean, I know one of the biggest squats in Amsterdam has been closed down because someone got beaten almost to death in that place. I mean, how alternative can you get?
I think we should clear this discussion.
The best thing...
The question is why. You know, you have to ask
why,
and it's not a general ideological discussion of whether capitalism or communism or total decentralized systems are the good. Yeah. First of all, try to understand what's the problem that many people have with corporations. First of all, they have it because of experience, because that's the way these entities behave. But corporations are very easy to understand because they function by a tiny set of very simple rules. They generally just want to maximize profit.
Exactly.
In whichever system and whichever way. So
you're only talking about for profit.
And and sustain their own existence. That's also a major force behind corporate behavior.
Yes, staying in existence is the long term.
But it's logical.
But if you don't expect to earn money in the future, you would cease to exist.
If I may, for a minute, I've come up against this. Well, sorry. No, finish.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I've come up against this question before. Why do you hate corporations so much? Well, it's not anti-corporate. It's nothing of the sort. It's anti-greed. It's anti-avarice. It's anti-corruption. I'm for corporations. Listen, the Free Network Foundation is a corporation. It's not anything against corporations.
No, but that's a libertarian. Isaac, allow me to explain a bit. I'm not wondering why people do not like certain types of corporations. I can understand that. What I really hate about a lot of these discussions about hackers, information freedom, network infrastructure freedom, however you frame it, to me they're all extensions of the freedom of conscience. And they're too often framed in tear down the system. Dude, there is no system. There's mostly incompetence, ignorance, and random events collecting together.
But Walter, why I don't really like big corporations. If you throw a lot of people together who indeed only focus on their own little station, you get a system.